Supreme Court weighs in on Donald Trump. The unanimous decision, the nation's highest court deciding Colorado cannot keep Trump off the ballot, saying this is not up to the states.
Tonight, the Supreme Court hands Donald Trump a significant legal victory.
Well, the court has decided unanimously that Donald Trump cannot be disqualified as a presidential candidate.
Tonight, the major ruling from the Supreme Court barring states from removing Donald Trump from the ballot. The justices in a unanimous decision restoring the former president to Colorado's ballot after the state kicked him off, citing the 14th Amendment for his actions surrounding the January 6th attack. That ruling coming just hours before voters in Colorado and more than a dozen states head to the polls for the Super Tuesday primaries.
There you go. The definitive ruling yesterday, a ruling that we told you was likely to come. I mean, everybody knew it was likely to come yesterday, but I believe I told you repeatedly that it was almost certainly going to end in this, and I suspected that it would be at least a 7-2, and I wouldn't be surprised if it was a 9-0 vote. Jake, what was the vote?
It was 9-0.
It was 9-0. Yeah. Now, interesting what they didn't do. It's a very fascinating opinion. It's a very short opinion, unsigned. We don't know who the author was. I would suspect John Roberts, but I'm not enough of an analyst to the style of writing of the Supreme Court justices to say with much confidence. The reason I say that it's Roberts is because, you know, he's the Chief Justice, and I think the idea of the unsigned is to speak, you know, declaratively for the whole court, not as, you know, one person writing the opinion. But also because if you go back to the oral arguments that were given back in February on this topic, you really, I was kind of surprised because the basis of the ruling is, it's different than what I expected it to be. You know, I expected them to focus on, for example, did President Trump engage in insurrection? Or I expected them to focus on whether, for example, that's a decision that can be made by, say, a court rather than, I don't know, some other agency. Or that, you know, that the presidency is covered or not covered by the particular issues in the 14th Amendment because the presidency is not specifically mentioned. And that was an argument that the Trump lawyers made. And so there were things in here that were surprising to me because they were not addressed. But if you go back and listen to what was addressed, Chief Justice Roberts and Clarence Thomas both were clearly hinting at this in the oral arguments.
The whole point of the 14th Amendment was to restrict state power, right? States shall not abridge privileges, immunity. They won't deprive people of property without due process. They won't deny equal protection. And on the other hand, it augmented federal power under Section 5. Congress has the power to enforce it. So wouldn't that be the last place that you'd look for authorization for the states, including Confederate states, to enforce, implicitly authorized, to enforce the presidential election process? That seems to be a position that is at war with the whole thrust of the 14th Amendment and very ahistorical.
And that was the ruling. In fact, if you want to understand the ruling, that's really the main thing to understand. Now, there's a lot more to it, but it's only like 20 pages long. It's a very short ruling by Supreme Court standards. So in this ruling, I'll tell you what they did and what they did not say. And what they did not say is actually very interesting. For example, those who might think that this was a complete exoneration for Trump or that Trump won 100% across the board, he did not. For those who might say that this means that Trump is eligible to be president, they did not say that. They didn't even address that. What they said specifically is that states don't get to make this call. This is a federal prerogative. Number one, because there's no power in the 14th Amendment granted to a state to decide that somebody's ineligible for any of these offices under the Constitution of the United States after they've engaged in an insurrection and broken an oath. Those are the two key disqualifiers. You have to have done both. So there's just no mention of the states in it. It's a congressional power. Number two, that power would run contrary to the whole spirit of the 14th Amendment, which, as you heard Roberts there say, is a vast expansion of federal power against the states. Well, the whole idea was you had these Confederate states that had proved through the Civil War and secession that they were not trustworthy in a variety of ways, and they had to be restricted. And the idea that you would somehow in this process grant back to each state the ability to decide which federal candidates could or could not be on the ballot, That's nuts under the 14th Amendment. That is clearly not what they intended, as shown by the fact that after this was passed, nobody ever did this. Nobody ever tried to do this at the state level. And then the third one is that it would create this kind of incoherent patchwork of state-by-state decisions. So you would have federal offices interfered with, and they wouldn't be able to represent the people equally because, you know, Trump would be on the ballot in these states and off the ballot in these states. And, you know, different rules and regulations for what would put you on or off the ballot would be in different states in this kind of this insane chaos situation. And they said none of that, none of that. Now, they did not resolve the question, and this is important, they did not resolve the question whether the presidency is covered under the 14th Amendment, just completely sidestepped that question, because that's been one of the big issues. The 14th Amendment doesn't mention the presidency, okay? Number two, they didn't address the question of whether Trump engaged in insurrection and broke his oath, or broke an oath, because that's been two arguments, you know, that the 14th Amendment doesn't cover him, also that he never had an oath of the sort that's mentioned in the 14th Amendment. And then, of course, the factual question of whether he engaged in insurrection. And the courts, the circuit court in Colorado ruled that he engaged in insurrection. Supreme Court did not address that. Here's why that matters. It is entirely possible, it's not going to happen, but it is entirely possible that some other federal authority, particularly Congress, could decide we are going to declare President Trump ineligible to be president. This ruling clearly gave that power to Congress, that if they wanted to, they could. Now, again, they're not going to. Why? Because, you know, we know who's in charge in Congress, and that's just politically, that's not going to happen. But that's what it said. Now, that was the justice. That was five justices. That was Kavanaugh, Alito, Gorsuch, Roberts, and Thomas. Unnamed, but that's the five. The other four agreed in the judgment, meaning they agreed with that end conclusion that Trump is not disqualified and he must be on the ballot in Colorado, which, by the way, they're voting today among all the Super Tuesday states. Kavanaugh, you kind of have to read this one a little bit out of order in the way it shows up in the Federal Register, but Kagan, Sotomayor, the Supreme Court opinion. Kagan, Sotomayor, and Ketanji Brown Jackson, the three liberal justices on the court, they totally agreed that Colorado cannot kick him off the ballot. Which, by the way, if you get shut down 9-0 for a decision you make at the state Supreme Court level, that might be grounds for impeaching those justices. I mean, they blew it on constitutional interpretation. This opinion is so obvious. And this way of settling this issue is so obvious that the fact that they didn't get it right raises questions about their competence. But back to the point. The three liberals, they said, we totally agree with the court about settling the question that the Colorado cannot kick Trump off the ballot on their own initiative. It has to be federally done. Where they disagreed, and this is important, is they said that the court went beyond the question at hand and decided that only Congress, through enacting legislation, can decide that Trump would be disqualified. They think the 14th Amendment doesn't specify. And so there's all kinds of possible ways you might declare him ineligible for office. And their argument, one of their arguments, this is a very good argument. The liberals are right about this. They said there's a provision of the 14th Amendment says that Congress, by a two-thirds vote, can reinstate somebody who's been declared ineligible. Who are they overriding? It wouldn't be themselves. Wouldn't be only themselves. That doesn't make any sense because a mere majority could just decide not to take him off the ballot. Why would you have a provision giving them a two-thirds looking like a veto override or a disqualification override if they are the only ones who have the power in the first place? That doesn't make any sense. Also, you know, why would it be two-thirds if it required congressional legislation to enact this provision? Because, again, 51% of Congress could stop this from happening. They're right. That logic is inescapable. So this is in the Supreme Court jurisprudence. This is a thing called dicta. Dicta means that the Supreme Court went beyond the question it was asked and gave an opinion about something that it wasn't asked. And that's what they did here. And the liberals are right. The five major majority justices went beyond their scope and said that only Congress has the ability through enacting legislation to declare somebody unfit for, or, you know, ineligible for office from being an oath breaker and an insurrectionist. The and by the way, they kept saying that in their opinion because, you know, they believe that he is an oath breaking insurrectionist, which they said that exact phrase over and over and over again in their 3-person dissent. Now, the interesting dissent other than that is from Amy Coney Barrett, who writes a dissent in which she says, yeah, I totally agree with the ruling in its conclusion. Trump cannot be removed from the ballot by Colorado. But they went beyond the question they were asked, clearly hinting at the substance that Kagan Sotomayor and KBJ wrote. But she specifically said, you know what, now is not the time to raise the temperature. Now is the time to speak as one voice. I don't think that we should be enhancing our dissent at this moment. So shh. This is a major politically divisive, social, cultural upheaval kind of thing. It'd have been better if we could have just written a 9-0 opinion and not said anything else at all. Of course, the problem is that the majority went beyond the scope and engaged in dicta, and she can't totally let that go, but she also can't totally let the other three writing their scathing dissent go, and so we're left with what we've got. But the short takeaway here is that Trump is, you cannot take him off the ballot in the states by the state action. But you could definitely take him off the ballot by congressional action if Congress decided to enact legislation that would declare him or anybody who engaged in the January 6th incident. I don't like the term insurrection just because there's all kinds of, you know, dimensions to that event. It was a horrible thing, but, you know, as I've said many times, it was, for some, it was just public demonstration. For some, it was protest. For some, it was riot. For some, it was insurrection. A very small number, I think, for whom it was insurrection. So that's your ruling yesterday, and it's a very interesting one, particularly because of what it doesn't do and what it doesn't solve in terms of these questions. But, of course, today is Super Tuesday, and all that's basically moot now. We're having the election. Trump is going to be on the ballot. I would expect Nikki Haley is going to get destroyed tonight by 30 or 40 points and then drop out tomorrow or tonight. Because you have to believe this was her only hope. You know, the Supreme Court was her Obi-Wan Kenobi, right? It was the only way she was going to have a chance is if Trump got disqualified from being president. And so I would think at this point she would suspend her campaign. Well, but, you know, people do the things that they're going to do. You never know. But maybe she hopes Congress will do something. The Democrats in Congress may try. I mean, they've tried everything else to get rid of Trump. Why wouldn't they try this? Of course, it won't succeed. 523 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 9. They'll be talking about Easter, Angelina's Supper Club, jazz at Jackson's, and other fun things you won't want to miss. That's all tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Attorney CPA Joe Cordell.
Business owners and professionals face special challenges in divorce court. They have to contend with allegations that they are earning more than they are, coupled with claims on their business or practice itself. Clients with assets depend on their divorce lawyer's skills in these matters.
For matters in Tennessee, visit CordellCordell.com. 200 West Martin Luther King Boulevard, Suite 1000, Chattanooga, Tennessee, 37402. No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Nicola.
My wife and daughter, Mary and Julie, and my daughter Jill, and the principal of Gulf Breeze High School, Sarah Barker. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you. Welcome to Florida State.
That's kind of a cool little moment yesterday. Doug Broxson introducing his wife and the principal of Gulf Breeze High School to the Florida Senate. Just kind of a neat thing. They, oh my God, marathon session yesterday. 8 hours in the Senate and like 4.5 hours in the House. And, you know, of course, one of the big things they took up was HB1, HB3 recombined as HB3 because HB1 got vetoed. We'll talk about that quite a bit later. That's the social media bill. 526 here on News Radio 92.3. Rainy. There you go. That's it. Just it's rainy. Rainy. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Texas's controversial new immigration law will likely be headed to the U.S. Supreme Court. That allows police there to arrest people they believe have crossed the border illegally. It was blocked by a federal judge. That ruling now overturned a federal appeals court, giving the federal government 7 days to file a case with the Supreme Court. Police in Nashville reporting several people have died after a single-engine plane crashed into an interstate in West Nashville yesterday. Officials say the pilot reported engine problems and requested an emergency landing. Fire officials say the crash was catastrophic and there were no survivors there. And protesters with PETA are trying to end the Iditarod. About a dozen people were in Anchorage at the ceremonial start location for the race and also in Willow for the official start yesterday. PETA believes the Iditarod is inhumane. And they say it's resulted in the injury, illness, and deaths of sled dogs.
Well, the reason it's inhumane is because it's so hard on the people.
Right? It's cold.
Oh, PETA. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 527 on News Radio 92.3. Somebody texted me in, thanks for the civics lesson. I'm enjoying it this morning. Hey, you're welcome. That's part of why I go through this, you know. Like, you know, I know I spent a lot of time yesterday on the bump stocks question, and it's just the Supreme Court, so many people don't really understand the things that they say or how it works or what the I agree that we ought to learn this stuff better. We ought to understand this stuff better. And, you know, what it does and doesn't say is important. You know, by the way, for example, this is one more note on this, you know, Trump not being disqualified in Colorado and by implication, Illinois and Maine also. Where he had been ruled ineligible, is this has nothing to do with the oft-repeated, and I've said this before too, but this is nothing to do with the oft-repeated, how dare you tell people who they can't vote for, how dare you violate the will of the people. That is the most idiotic thing that I hear people say. And President Trump has said that, but that is not, he even said something like that yesterday. That's not the issue. Declaring people eligible or ineligible is exactly what the Constitution does. 34-year-olds can't be president. How dare you make it so that people can't vote for who they want for? I don't know. Is he 34? Can't vote for him. I mean, right? I mean, was he born in the U.S.? No, can't vote for him. Well, what if he's super popular? Doesn't matter. Has he already been president twice? Yep, can't vote for him. Well, how dare you? We want him back. Can't. I mean, you know, taking away the candidate that people want is precisely what qualifications for office are designed to do. So this notion that somehow it's a violation of democracy or freedom or the right of the people to select their representatives that you would tell them that they can't vote for somebody, wrong. You don't understand this system at all. 520, and again, I've said this before too, but it seems like it bears repeating. It's especially hypocritical coming from a guy who has made such a big deal about people's birth certificates and their alleged ineligibility to hold federal office as the president, right? You can't be the guy who says Obama wasn't a natural born citizen and can't be president, but you're denying the will of the people to take me off the ballot under the 14th Amendment. I mean, you cannot have it both ways. 529 on News Radio, but, you know, that's a separate issue. 529 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. What else do we have going on? Passing of an extraordinarily popular and influential coach, Carl Madison, Sunday night after a long illness, and he had been the coach at Tate. In fact, the field at Tate High is named after him, and he had taken them to the state champions. He had taken Pine Forest to the state championship and won, I think. Well, it took him to it twice. and the 87 and 88. And the 88 Eagles team was declared national champions by USA Today. I did not know that. I mean, I'm still only been here for 10 years, so I'm still learning stuff. Coached at five different Florida high schools, including Ernest Ward and three out-of-state schools, and a tremendous influence on local football by all accounts. I mean, like, we wouldn't have Northwest Florida football if it weren't for Coach Madison.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. It's the biggest day of the year on the presidential primary calendar, with elections in 15 states and one territory.
From Alaska to Maine and California to North Carolina, Republican voters will head to the polls today and tonight in Super Tuesday elections that will divvy up 865 delegates in 15 states, more than a third of all delegates awarded before the Republican National Convention this summer.
Fox's Jared Halpern. Donald Trump wins the North Dakota caucuses held yesterday. Five people are killed with no survivors in a single-engine plane crash near an interstate in Nashville. Fire Department spokeswoman Kendra Loney.
When our crews arrived on scene, they were met with heavy flames and fire smoke in the area showing from that crash site.
The pilot reported engine failure, had approval for an emergency landing at the airport 3 miles away, but didn't make it. The plane went down behind a Costco store off Interstate 40. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531. It's News Radio 92.3. And right now we've got 65 degrees, rain across the area. The Northview High teacher at the center of the book review controversy in Escambia County is reportedly considering a run for the school board. According to Studio 850, Vicki Baggett says people have asked her to run, and so far she says she hasn't said no, but she also hasn't said yes. So far, current District 5 board member Bill Slayton is not pre-filed for re-election. Four other residents have pre-filed. State Representative Alex Andrade says he's been dealing with garbage phone calls from individuals over what he says is an effort by Democrats to spread lies about him and put words in his mouth. Over the weekend, Andrade was engaged in back-and-forth conversation on social media platform X over comments he made last week over slavery.
What would be a good lesson for Alex to learn? Perhaps somebody can come to his house and take himself and his wife and his entire family, you know, all of them. And why not stop there? Just take everybody of his nationality and just put them into slavery.
He shared that call on his account yesterday during discussion over a critical race theory bill on Friday. Andrade argued that Black history should be taught accurately, including that some slaves were paid for their work. He also added the only way to teach about slavery in Florida is that it was evil. The city of Pensacola looking to expand its recycling program again after doing away with curbside pickup in October. The city switched to a drop-off program March 1st. The city officially put out a request for proposals from third-party operators.
We've had enough conversations over the last several months with some of those third-party operators to see if, just to make sure it was even viable. We'll see what we come back with. Hopefully we get some good proposals that make financial sense.
Last year, Mayor D.C. Reeves said roughly half of the materials collected through the city's curbside program by ECUA were not recyclable. Florida Senate greenlighting an amended social media bill prohibiting kids under 14 from being an account holder without having parental consent.
It's just whether or not they are the account holder, and the algorithms and the tracking and the data collected on them is presented to them in order to further addict them. And that's why the definition of social media platform exists. So it's about being an account holder.
That's bill sponsor Aaron Grawl. HB3 is now passed the Senate in a 30-5 vote. It now goes to the House for a final vote before the legislative session officially ends this Friday. The voice of the Seminoles will be immortalized. The Florida Association of Broadcasters has revealed the names of the first nine people that'll be inducted into the Florida Broadcasters Hall of Fame. One of them, Gene Deckerhoff. Now, Florida State fans have likely heard Deckerhoff calling football, men's basketball, and baseball games until he retired back in 2022. The 78-year-old's already been inducted into the Florida Sports Hall of Fame and the Florida State University Athletics Hall of Fame. The Florida Broadcasters Hall of Fame induction will take place this coming June. 534, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast this morning.
A very wet start to our morning, 90% chance of rain through the morning hours, becoming spotty in the afternoon, high near 68. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 60 degrees. For Wednesday, partly cloudy skies, high near 75. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 58 degrees. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
It's 65 and rainy in Pensacola, 65 also in Gulf Breeze and Milton. Our next news at 6, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Throughout our history,
your past and mine is not ending with the end of the Depression.
Presidents have delivered the annual State of the Union Address.
Each day we draw nearer the hour of maximum danger as weapons spread and hostile forces grow stronger.
President Biden will give his third State of the Union Address. Hear it live Thursday at 8 p.m. along with the Republican rebuttal by Alabama Senator Katie Britt on News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Hey, Pensacola, Dave Ramsey here. I want to talk to you about my friends over at Gulf Coast Air Care. They've been trusted members of your community for over 25 years. Owner Todd St. Ors and his team focus on the indoor air quality side of HVAC for the people who want comfortable, healthy, and energy-efficient homes and workplaces. Gulf Coast Air Care can help you with dusty, moldy, or leaky duct systems, hot or cold rooms, and odors, and humidity issues. They test for duct leaks, and they do the repairs. If you need duct cleaning, duct repairs, or air filtration, you should call them today. Remember what Todd always says, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Call Gulf Coast Air Care today at 850-934-2768 or visit them online at gulfcoastaircare.com. That's 850-934-2768 or gulfcoastaircare.com.
A-R-G-O-S, Argos! Go Argos!
Go Argos!
I'm Claire Stewart with the University of West Florida. Summer is just around the corner, and we are thrilled to offer Explore Summer Camps to provide weeks of fun and education for your school-age children to enjoy. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we share the many camps available this year and how you can get your camper signed up. Tune in this Thursday at 9 a.m. to learn more. That's Thursday on the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
All the big national news in a conversation with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins from 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Well, life on the farm, I kind of laid back. Ain't much an old country boy to me can't hack. Early to rise, early in the sack. I thank God I'm a country boy.
And I can take you for a ride on my big green tractor.
Tractor sexy.
Goodbye, city life.
Thank God I'm a country boy. Woo-hoo!
Good morning, 538 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. The entire, basically everything west of Panama City in the Panhandle plus Mobile and Baldwin County is covered by a blob of yellow rainy mist that goes all the way out to the extent of the radar into the Gulf. So not a dangerous storm for us, but boaters maybe a little bit. And there's a little bit of thunderstorm activity in southern Escambia County, like a teeny tiny little bit, but generally it's mostly just a rainstorm. Yesterday, I had a good chance to talk to Ryan Jenkins, our good friend, owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida. We check in with him once a month to find out what's going on in farm life. Ryan, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning. How are y'all doing?
Oh, man, we're doing great. Always good when I get a chance to talk to you. Again, one of the most favorite things that we do. People love this segment. They love hearing from you. People might see you out spreading, sand or powder or something all over the fields right now, but that's not what you're doing.
Yeah, it's funny that you asked that. I believe it was this past week on one of the local Facebook pages here, you know, there's so many new people that have moved to our communities lately. they don't know what we're doing, and that's part of the reason we do this show, right?
Right.
To try to tell them what we're doing and get them on board with what agriculture is. But they asked, what was the sand-looking stuff that farmers are applying to the fields? And I laughed so hard because I started reading the comments. You know, there were several that said they were spreading Dollar General seeds was one of them. Another one was
nice.
Another one was it was house fertilizer. You know, all these things, and it's like, yes, that's exactly that's how I feel about it. But
my only concern is if it were in fact Dollar General seeds, then you guys aren't spreading enough of them for all the Dollar Generals we grow here locally. But you know, anyway.
Well, that's right. We don't ever get up as many as we plant.
That's right.
Sure.
That's there you go.
But
but what it
but
is
anyway,
actually?
So what that actually is that's lime. That is crushed limestone. That is how we adjust the pH of the soil, the acidity of the soil. And the reason that's important is, and you know, I've always got people either calling me what do I need to do for my yards or what do I need to do for my food plots. All this kind of stuff. I'm putting out the fertilizer. It's not working. Well, if the pH, you know, in a short and simple version, if the pH isn't correct, the plants can't adequately use the fertilizer. The fertilizer won't work correctly if the pH is not right, and then the plant can't take it up. So sometimes if the pH is off, you can put as much fertilizer as you want out there, and it's still not going to make a difference. So There's my tidbit for the week. If your food plots aren't doing good or your yard isn't doing good, get a soil sample and see what the pH is and start from there.
And you do, people may not realize, and you and I have talked about this before, but it used to be that you would just, you know, dump a bunch of lime out there and hope for the best. And then over time, it's gotten to be where now you can really sample each fairly small region of soil and then apply the appropriate amount of lime to each appropriate field or slice of a field in order to bring them all into the ideal pH range, right?
Right. So now basically we micromanage everything we do. You know, used to you'd take a 100-acre field and you'd drive around and get a few soil samples and mix them together in a bucket and send them off, and they would send you back what's wrong with your field and what needs to be applied to it. Now we break it up, you know, with computer and GPS. We break it up into 2.5-acre grids. So we'll have a whole bunch of 2.5-acre fields that make up a 100-acre field. We'll send that off, and then they'll send us back an actual prescription that we'll put in our machines. And it recognizes that, hey, this 2.5-acre section here needs a ton of lime to the acre. The next 2.5-acre section might only need 500 pounds. The next one might need 1,500 pounds. Next one might be 2 tons. So you see, it's adjusting how much it's putting out as you're, you know, live, as you're going through the field, so that you're putting out the exact right amount for that area.
And you're continuously, by this process, you know, normalizing and re-nourishing the soil to create its maximum productivity so that you get the best uptake of the nutrients through the plants, right?
Correct. Absolutely. So then in turn, where before we were having to put out more fertilizer because the pH wasn't just right, now mm-hmm. we're putting out even less fertilizer than we ever have because we've got that optimum pH out in the field.
And that'll cut down on, obviously, you know, the more you have to put out, that's a sort of a contaminant of sorts. That's also cost input. All makes perfect sense. So it's not sand and it's not Dollar General dollar store seeds. So it's good to know. Also, this month is National Peanut Month, your favorite month of the year, right? Other than harvest season.
It is. Well, harvest season is usually, if it's a good harvest, is my favorite time of the year, yes. But, yes, it is. It's National Peanut Month. It's something that we like and we celebrate, you know. And if it's okay with you, I'd kind of like to go over a history of the peanuts. That's right. We got, about another 45 minutes, probably.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
So National Peanut Month, it was born in 1974, just like me. So that's when it came into existence. And it was made to celebrate and promote peanuts. So let's talk about where did they come from. So peanuts were introduced to the Americas in the early 1700s by the Africans. And then from 1700 till about 1860 or so, they just kind of were here, you know, not much of a big deal. But then when the Civil War came along, the soldiers from the North and South both were using peanuts as protein. So that's when things really started kind of kicking off with peanuts in America. About 1895 or so, peanut butter was invented by Dr. Kellogg. So that's the first time we had peanut butter. And the reason he made that was for people who couldn't chew meat and still needed protein. Then in about 1900, that's when they said, all right, these peanuts are doing good in America. We need to invent equipment to help grow and process them. So about 1900 or so is when they started putting effort into that. Then around 1903, up at Tuskegee Institute, which is just this side of Auburn, George Washington Carver began research into peanuts. He saw how needed they were and how useful they were. And in his research, he discovered and invented over 300 uses for peanuts. So he was, you know, kind of like the father of peanuts in America. Let's see here. In his research, toward the end of his research, he realized that peanuts would be a real good rotational crop with cotton. And we all know how much cotton was grown in the South.
Yeah.
So that's when things really picked up for the peanut industry. That's when it really took off. And so then from then on, it was kind of good. But then about between the 50s and 60s is when they really fine-tuned mechanized combines. You know, used to, it took a whole village of people to harvest peanuts. They would go out there and dig them with their mules and stuff. Then they would stack them on a pole and they would sit and dry, and they had stationary peanut pickers. So a whole group of men, it would take a whole bunch of men to harvest just a small amount of peanuts. Well, then in the 50s and 60s is when they invented the peanut combines that were pulled behind tractors like we see today. You know, they're mobile, that move through the field. And that's when things really took off. And then today, peanuts contribute over $4 billion to the U.S. economy each year. So we've gone from hardly anything in the 1700s to now, you know, they're a major player in the economy.
I think the only part of any of that that I knew was the George Washington Carver, and that he invented so many different uses. I didn't know anything about the Civil War or the Kellogg or, you know, any of the modern manufacturing technology, any of that kind of stuff. Oh, and I didn't know that they were not indigenous. They came from Africa. That's, I mean, truly fascinating. Ryan Jenkins, he is the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida. We check in with him once a month and find out how one of the major sectors of our local economy is doing, because every year it's a different story, and that's what makes it wild. Ryan, thank you so much for the time. Thanks for teaching us, and I appreciate you putting, you know, clothes on my kids' back and food in their mouths, and they do love the peanut butter, so I appreciate that, sir.
Absolutely. As always, eat more peanuts, and y'all have a great week.
Absolutely will do. Thanks so much, sir. 548 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you have an import and you got to get that car serviced, you might think, hey, I got to take that thing over to the dealership. You know, BMW, Porsche, Mercedes, Genesis, Audi, Jaguar, Lexus, they're the ones who know it best. Well, hey, you know, you might think that, but it really depends on how often that somebody works on cars to know what's really going on with them. And at Bobby Likas Auto, they work on those kind of vehicles all the time, constantly. No big deal. And you don't, there's no requirement that you have to take it to the dealership. That doesn't, you know, interfere with your warranty or anything like that, right? So you can take it wherever the price and the service is the best. And if the price is less and the location is closer and you don't have to drive a long way and spend gas money and all that, I mean, you make a decision, right? Bobby Likas works on these vehicles all the time. They work on domestics as well, no problem. They work on diesel engines, no problem. They work on gas engines, no problem. You know, that's something, again, you might think it's a specialty item. You got to take that truck or that diesel engine over to the dealership. You don't have to, okay? They work on those. And the philosophy of Bobby Likas is like, bring it to us for the small things. You know, bring it to us for the oil change, bring it to us for the tune-up, bring it to us for the belts and that kind of stuff. And we'll take care of the routine maintenance in the process. We'll avoid you having the big problem, which will save you money also and save you inconvenience. You know, bring it to us healthy so you don't have to bring it to us broken. Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway.
Remember when washing machines made in America were solidly built and actually got your clothes clean? They aren't a thing of the past. They are Speed Queen, and they are available at Tops Appliance. Speed Queen washer and dryers combine durability and technology into the best washers and dryers in the world. Speed Queen will change the way you think about washing machines. They're built to last longer and deliver exceptional wash results. Unlike many other washers and dryers with plastic parts, Speed Queen uses commercial-grade steel and porcelain components designed to give you at least 25 years of reliable, trouble-free operation. That's why they come with lifetime warranties, the best warranties in the business. See store for warranty details. Speed Queen washers and dryers are built to work and built to last. If you want durability, innovation, and perfectly done laundry the first time, then you want Speed Queen. See these great Speed Queen washers and dryers for yourself at Tops Appliance on Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street.
Pinnair Credit Union is here for every move-in day to the perfect home, every trip up the coast in the perfect car, for every business door unlocked, every dollar saved for something special, every dream achieved one goal at a time. We're here because Pinnair Credit Union has been a part of this community since 1936. And with affordable lending, flexible accounts, easy access, and smart guidance, we're a perfect fit for the way you bank. Join us at Pinnair.org. You'll fit right in. Insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.
Tax season is here, and it's time to turn your refund into peace of mind with Jim's Firearms. Jim's Firearms is your go-to destination for top-notch personal protection. You're also going to want to secure your spot for one of their upcoming concealed carry classes. Use your refund wisely and invest in safety. Check out their wide selection online at jimsfirearms.net or visit the store in Pensacola at the corner of Sereno Road and Blue Angel Parkway. Jim's Firearms, protecting what matters most.
We are tackling summer learning loss, turning the page on what was to nurture the world within. Gulf Coast Freedom Schools is a free 6-week summer literacy and cultural enrichment program for Escambia County students K through 8th grade. Apply online by May 31st, 2024 at gcfreedomschools.com. Class sizes are limited.
We are Gulf Coast Freedom Schools, where words change worlds.
The following message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Elder Affairs, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Sarah is 64 and loves to garden. Recently, her health insurance ran out, leaving her worried about more than just weeds. She called the Elder Helpline and spoke with a volunteer Shine counselor about her options. There, she received free, unbiased counseling on health insurance for those on Medicare. For more information or to volunteer, call 1-800-963-5337 or go to floridashine.org.
News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
War's over, man. Wormer dropped the big one.
What? Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
Germans? Forget it, he's rolling.
Good morning, 5:53 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I think we all wish we could have gotten a degree at Faber College, right? Don't we all wish we could have? Where they sell a lot of ladders, apparently. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, today is Super Tuesday, the biggest day of the 2024 election nominating cycle. Results will be announced in 16 states and American Samoa. It'll be a big day for Nikki Haley, who so far has only won one contest in Washington, D.C. Colorado lawmakers considering a bill that would grant personhood status to embryos and fetuses. It would classify an embryo or a fetus as a person and allow prosecutors to criminally charge mothers for getting an abortion. It also states that any judge in Colorado that overrules any provision of the bill could be subject to impeachment. And Apple hit with a $2 billion fine by the European Union over music streaming apps. That investigation started back in 2020 after Spotify filed a complaint saying that it and other music streaming providers were being forced to pay a 30% fee for purchases made using Apple's in-app payment system, but Apple Music did not have to pay the fee.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620. Very interesting development in my former home state of Oregon. I lived in Oregon for 2 years. I got out before the drugs got in. I mean, they were there, but they weren't there legally. And I love the opening line of this story. It says, hopes were high in Oregon. I mean, it's somebody taking a little bit of a poetic license, okay? You know, 3 years ago, they passed an amendment. I haven't lived there for, 10 years, but 3 years ago, they passed an amendment decriminalizing hard drugs, right? Oregon did this great experiment in allowing people to get treatment, to seek help, and to not be prosecuted for even heroin, cocaine, methamphetamines. I mean, it's all good, okay, that according to them. The legislature is now approved a bill making possession of small amounts of hard drugs a misdemeanor carrying up to a 6-month jail sentence, because it turns out that not many people used addiction services and drug use became widespread. You don't say. You decriminalized hard drugs and people use more of them? What? It's weird. I know, who could have seen that coming? So if you want to know by how much, there's a prior story from back in November that just was on my show prep for forever and I never got a chance to cover. Now I'm glad to be able to because it fits with this. Headline, Fox News, Oregon opioid deaths increase. You want to take a stab at this? Just in your own head, guess. How much more often were people dying from opioids after Oregon totally decriminalized drug possession and use? It went up 5%, it went up 20%, 50%, it doubled, tripled, keep going. 13 times. 13 times! Opioid-related deaths in Oregon have skyrocketed to 955 last year, up from 280 in 2019 before the law was passed. Crazy. And that was a so far this year kind of thing. So, yeah, they've gone up dramatically. They took away the fine. They took away the penalty. They said, you people can get help. Somebody had said at the time, right now, people need to come together and realize this is just an incredible burden, incredible crisis. People out here that myself, my coworkers, the rest of my team are interacting with, these problems are real, and this did not work. Yeah, again, no surprise. But this is, weirdly, I'm never going to celebrate the deaths or the harm that this caused, but I'll just say this weirdly. This is why we have a constitution that allows states to do their own thing and try and become experiments so the rest of us can learn from their mistakes, right? 437-1620, 437-1620. It's kind of funny. I'm looking at that math, and that math is not right. The headline says 13 times. But the stat it says for 1,000 versus 280 is only a 4 times increase, right? So either way, even if it's only 4 times, pretty awful, right? Oh, and then this is just one of those, oh, my God, really? Yeah, oh, my God, really. In the 1,650-yard freestyle, so this is like a mile, basically, in the Atlantic Coast Conference Championships, ACC Conference Championships, one swimmer, Owen Lloyd, won big. Second place teammate, Ross Dant, second place. Fantastic. Amazing. It makes you eligible for the NCAA championships. It gives you a conference title. It just does, and what you might do with the Olympics, all that. Okay, so good. The problem is that when he won, he went under the rope to his friend in the next lane, and they were celebrating and hugging. There's an obscure rule that says you cannot enter another racer's lane during the match because other swimmers had still not finished. He was disqualified and lost his championship trophy because of this ridiculous rule. Can you imagine? He's like, I didn't even think about that. We were just happy to have won first and second.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.